Hello there. You are warmly welcome to the Racing Post weekend postcast. It's the last weekend before the Cheltenham Festival kicks off. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to hopefully point you the way of a few winners are the Racing Post's Tom Collins and David Jennings. And from Paddy Power, we've got James Short. What a couple of blows we had this morning. Two of the really exciting, not quite match races, but two of the big clashes of Cheltenham have fallen apart this morning. I was out with the dog the other morning and I was just thinking, it's really good how few last-minute non-runners we've had, but that's a sure way of ensuring there are some. Enegamine versus Shishkin is off because Enegamine is out, and Time Hill versus Paisley Park is off because we don't have Time Hill. It's obviously still going to be a fantastic week, but that's a couple of blows. But never mind, we're still in high spirits because there is so much great racing coming next week, and we'll see what the boys make of this weekend. Here's what we've got coming up. Four races on ITV4 from Sandown on Saturday, three from Wolverhampton for flat fans. We'll see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. I know DJ fancies one on Sunday, and then we'll have a little dip into Cheltenham and see what the boys make of maybe their best banker and their best long shot. So plenty of great stuff coming up. We'll start with the 150 at Sandown Park on Saturday. I tell you what, this Sandown card is really, really difficult, I've got to tell you. It's the European Breeders' Fund Paddy Power National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final over 2.5 miles. And when I say difficult, I'm talking 13-2. The field difficult, James.
Yes, it's a big day for us, Bruce, for the Paddy Power team at Sandown. We've got the Imperial Cup and our Millionaire race a bit later on in the card. But this 150, we've got an offer on this one. Five places on offer. And as you say, it's very open. Carl Philippe, 13-2. The Mick Preston's 13-2 as well. Nicky Henderson's won the race two times in the past 10 years. Got a few in the race. Captain Morgs is 17-2. And there's a host of horses on 10-1, including one I fancy, which is Striking a Pose for Colin Tizzard and Tom O'Brien, who's in the saddle on that one.
Okay, we'll get your reasoning for that in a moment. But first, we'll go to Tom Collins. Tom, there's 18 runners here, and the second outsider, if that's the thing, is 20-1. So basically, they've all got a chance. Who have you come down on the side of?
Yeah, it's not an easy race to start with at all. I wish there was 19 runners because I really fancied Pipe Smoker for this race, but he's not in the field. Nicky Henderson's opted to run Patroclus and Captain Morgs instead, which is a bit gutting. I'm going to be with Sam Barton, especially given the each-way terms, first five home. It's a good betting race, isn't it? He's clearly a chaser in the making. He still looks a touch immature. He was wandering around in front last time at Doncaster. But his maiden hurdle form is really strong. If you look back to that Chepstow contest in October, the form is working out a treat. The winner was Stargate, who went on to win a Grade 2, took second in the Challow behind Brave Man's Game. The second, third, fourth and sixth have all won that race. And Sam Barton finished fifth. I love the way he fought back last time to beat a good horse in the Edgar Wallace. The fourth up for parole has won since. Off a mark of 1-3-2, I think Sam Barton's got a great chance, but it is wide open.
It certainly is. DJ, have you managed to get stuck into this?
What a start, Bruce.
Myself, tough, isn't it?
Collins, I don't know. Well, I'm going to say what a start, as in myself and Tom Collins. Is it a case of fools seldom differing or great minds?
Great minds alike? Think alike.
I've been waiting for this horse to be cut all week. It's 12-1 all week, and I just thought it should be favoured, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually went off favourite, Sam Barton. Tom makes the case for the Chepstow race, where he actually traded quite short and running. He ran really, really well that day. Then he was just a bit of a baby at Hereford. But last time at Doncaster, I loved the way he travelled. He probably got to the front a little bit too soon, and Adam Wedge said that afterwards as well. But he kind of grew up, I thought, in the closing stages of that race. There were 18 lengths clear of the third, who was Rhodes the Man. And to me, he just looked to have this race written all over him. And when the entries came out, I presumed he'd be favoured. I can't believe he's 12-1.
Excellent. The boys both agree on a 12-1 shot. Sounds like you might need to get in early and take the price. Sorry, James, I can't remember who you said. I think you said Striking a Pose. Tell us why.
Yeah, I've gone for a different direction. A five-year-old is progressing quite nicely, lads. This horse won at one canton, and then it did it nicely from the front the last day at Exeter. The extra little bit of trip today, I think, will suit this horse. Managed to win a point-to-point in the past over 3 miles as well. So I think this horse, off a mark of 130, there's still probably a little bit more to come. 10-1, nice each-way price. And don't forget, five places we're offering in this 150.
Jolly good. We move on to the big race of the day, the 225, the Paddy Power Imperial Cup. A handicap over 2 miles. And before you give us the prices, James, just tell us about the Millionaire Club race, because someone basically is going to walk away a millionaire, aren't they, at the end of this?
Yes, we're finally getting there. Bruce has been called off on a few occasions, but 11 lucky entries, Paddy Power customers, are all in the draw. The draw took place on Thursday evening, and each one of those 11 people have a horse. We've taken out four horses, some of the outsiders, so if that one of those four was to win, it just wouldn't be counted. A few of the people in the mix, we've got an ex-footballer who used to play under David Moyes, Stuart King. He lives up in Banbridge. We've got Owen, a farrier from Dublin, and Gillian, who's a care worker from Edinburgh. So they all have a chance to win $1 million, and they, well, hopefully, well, one will, and all other 10 will all win 10,000.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Blimey, I'm not sure though. If I won $1 million, I'm not sure I'd want that money coming into my account just before Cheltenham. That could be dangerous, but I'm sure they'll be far too sensible to reinvest, and they'll be buying luxury cars and that sort of thing. Brilliant competition that, James. Really, really good. And it's very competitive, this, although Gary Moore's got Faversney Natural History. Take us through the prizes and then we'll get DJ's fancy.
Yeah, once again, just five places on offer as well. And I should mention, Bruce, though, we've got that 50k bonus. So the winner of this race, if it goes on to win a race at Cheltenham next week, the connections will all get 50 grand to share with. So that's something to mention as well. National History, Gary Moore's charged 3-1 tops the betting. Langer Dan for the Skeletons at 9-2. 15-2, David Pipe's horse, Leon Cavallo, and then we've got at 9-1 Highway 102, 9-1 as well, One True King, and a host of horses on 10-1.
DJ, did that Natural History romp at Plumpton convince you that he's just the kiddie for this race?
He was impressive, yeah, but no. Look, Bruce, you know better than anyone, I am the strangest fish in the world. I'm very, very strange. And one of the things I really hate is when I have a really strong fancy the weekend before Cheltenham, because I'm real superstitious and I kind of think, oh, if you have a good weekend before Cheltenham, you're not going to have a good week at Cheltenham. So I rarely would back even a horse this weekend, because that's how utterly bonkers my mind works, okay? But then, lo and behold, the entries come out for the Imperial Cup earlier on the week, and none other than Langer Dan appears amongst them. Now, Bruce, I did a couple of review shows of the Cheltenham Festival with you last year, and my big eye catcher, the one horse we were all asked, a couple of Racing Post journalists, to pick out one horse from the Cheltenham Festival that caught your eye to follow for next season. And a lot of people would have picked out the ones in grade ones, you know, be it Alaho or Manila Indo or something like that. My eye catcher from the 2020 Cheltenham Festival was Langer Dan, because I thought in the Boodles, won by Aramax, I just thought he was so unlucky and value for finishing a lot closer. Everywhere he went, a horse seemed to just go in front of him. And he ended up right in the middle of the track after the last. I thought that was a hell of a run. And I thought going into this season, he was the best handicapped hurdler in training off a mark of 136. He's ran absolute two shockers since he came back at Chepstow in October and then at Plumpton in November. But he had a wind up after that. And last time at Market Raisin behind a Jero, at last there was a chink of light. And he was such an eye catcher again. I love horses second run after a wind up. This is second run after a wind up. He's down to a mark of 130. So I thought he was the best handicap hurdler in training at the start of the season off 135. He's now down to 130. He comes into the race on the back of a real eye-catching run at Market Raisin. He's entered the two races at the Cheltenham Festival. And I think he might just do the double. I'm all over Langer Dan.
Oh, I'm just reading the Racing Post comment for that run at Market Raisin. In rear, nudged along when behind home turn, pushed along in headway when no chance after two out, kept on well and went fourth running. Nearest finish, eye-catcher. They don't normally say that unless they really have hit him between the eyes. So very confident choice there for Langer Dan. James Short, who do you like?
Two votes for Langer Dan, Bruce, because as everything David has said there, spot on, that eye-catching performance at Market Raisin, way back turning in and then managed to finish a real good fourth in the race as well. It's been a good race for five-year-olds. That ticks a nice box as well in terms of the stats and trends. Four of the last nine winners were five-year-olds. But yeah, the horse has been nicely backed ahead of the Imperial Cup this week, 9-2 from sevens. And I'm all over Langer Dan as well.
Okay, and Tom Collins, you joining the Langer Dan fan club?
I'm not. I'm going in a different direction. I'm going to go be with Malaya. Now, I fancied her for this race for the last 2 years. Obviously, the race wasn't run last year, but she had the perfect prep leading up to it, and I thought she was going to win before obviously it was cancelled. And I fancy her this year as well. She doesn't have the same unexposed, attractive profile that the likes of Natural History and Langer Dan do, but she certainly shouldn't be four times the price at around 10, 12 to 1. It's clearly been her target for the last 3 years. She won it in 2019, as I say, called off last year. This year, she's warmed up for this race perfectly with an eye-catching prep at Ascot. Now, you look back at the form, And the form figure says eight. And you're thinking, oh, well, she must have run deplorably. But she was held up last by Harry Cobden, given so much to do. She sauntered into contention and then just took a blow from two out and weakened out of contention, which was just kind of what was expected. First run back. She's now £2 lower than when she won this race 2 years ago. I think everything is lined up for a big performance. And at about 10, 12 to 1, she's a great each way bet.
Thank you very much, Tom. We move on to the 3 o'clock. It's a flat race. It's the British Stallion Studs EBF Mares Standard Open National Hunt flat race. It's a listed race as well. So it's obviously a good one. And it's open again. My goodness me, this card is difficult to solve. So we'll get James to give us a show from Paddy Power and then tell us who's going to win it.
Yeah, rainy day woman for Paul Nichols. Megan Nichols heads the betting market 130. We've got Miss Lamb next in for Jed O'Keefe at 4-1. 13-2 Flirtatious Girl for Kim Bailey. Same price for Tweed Skirt. That's Nikki Henderson's runner. And 15-2 bar those. I think one of my best bets of the entire weekend's coming in this race. And this is Miss Lamb. I thought it was a real eye-catching performance at Market Raisin behind Eileen Dover the last day. The form of that race has worked out tremendously well, with Grandjean winning at Leopardstown for Willie Mullins, and the fourth horse as well, Dragon Bones, has managed to come out and boost the form to enhance the form. This month, Jed O'Keefe's horses are running quite well. He had a winner on Thursday evening. And I think this Miss Lamb, I think she'll be hard to beat.
And James, I noticed also Paddy Power, in keeping with the first two races, are given an extra place here as well. You don't normally get that in a non-handicap. But 17 runners, 130 the field. It's much needed. Tom Collins, who do you like in the bumper?
I'm with James as well. I think Miss Lamb has got a great chance. Exactly the same reason as James said, behind Eileen Dover last time. And anything that Eileen Dover's beaten is coming out and winning. So that form just looks red hot. It's not a race that I'd be overly keen on betting in. I'm not a big fan of bumpers, even if they're listed or graded events. But Miss Lamb is the one that should be favourite.
Part of my ignorance, Tom, but why isn't Eileen Dover not running in either this or the Cheltenham bumper? Where are we going to see her next? She's so good, isn't she?
Yeah, she looks incredible. I think she's going to go to Aintree. I think that was the plan after the Market Raisin victory anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Right then, DJ, we're going to make it a full house for Miss Lamb.
Yeah, I can see where the lads are coming from with Miss Lamb, definitely. And that form behind Eileen Dover. You have to remember, Grandjean came out and won at the Dublin Racing Festival, and Miss Lamb was, I think, two lengths in front of Grandjean. So I can see that case, absolutely. But I just think Rainy Day Woman, unbeaten since joining Paul Nichols, 2 from 2. And I just thought that performance at Huntingdon, there was a bit of depth to that bumper. There was 13 runners and she really strode up the home straight. I love the way she hit the line. I think she's getting better with every run. I just marginally prefer Rainy Day Woman to Miss Lamb. It's not a confident vote, but it's a vote.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed, DJ. The final race at Sandown and another tricky one. 4-1 the field this time, James. It's the 3:35, the Paddy Power Rewards Club Novices Handicap Chase over 2 miles and 4 furlongs.
Yeah, I thought that was a very trappy race, Bruce. We got 4-1 this Admiral Baratri, 4-1 as well. No getaway for the Skeltons. This high up in the air has been a great, great form for Gary Moore, 9-2. And then we've got 6-1 Belgaris for Nick Gifford, JP McManus's horse, and 7-1 bar those.
Okay, David Jennings, what do you reckon of this? This is another tough one, isn't it, mate?
It is, yeah. It's funny, they're tough races, but I kind of like one in each of them, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I like Belargus here, who I think is really improving at a rate of knots. It's gone up £9 for winning last time, over 2 miles, or just under 2 miles at Sandown. But I actually thought that was a really professional, really impressive performance, a really good jump at the last. And, you know, coming into the last, you're kind of wondering, oh, will he get the job done or won't he? And he ended up winning by 9 lengths. And you know, he's quite unexposed over this trip. I think 130 might just underestimate him a little bit. Like, he couldn't have put him up any more than £9. But I just think over this trip, there might be even more improvement to come. I like horses that have course winning form at Sandown. And to me, I think he's the big improver in the race. So Belargus for me, Bruce.
And who for you, James?
Yeah, I fully agree with David yet again. I'm on the same wavelength. I thought this horse was very, very impressive when winning here over the shorter trip the last day. I thought he has had a bitten hand, travelled well, jumped well. And I think this horse will appreciate the step up. And I'm a Belargus fan as well for Nick Gifford.
Excellent. I know the listeners very much enjoy it when the lads agree. It makes it a lot easier to know who to back if indeed they do want to follow us rather than do their own thing. Tom Collins, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, well, the listeners are going to be extra happy because it's 3 for Belargus. He's been really just held back by his jumping over hurdles, and since he's gone chasing, his jumping's been iffy, if you want to be kind. It's been very bad. But last time out at Sandown, it seemed to reinvigorate him, these fences, which can often prove tough, especially the railway fences. And there were just clear signs that he's a well-handicapped horse when he won last time. I think the step-up in triple suit, as long as he jumps as well as last time, then he's the horse to beat.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. That was Sandown. This is Wolverhampton.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Tom Connins, and from Paddy Power, James Short. Before we look at three ITV4 races from Wolverhampton, a quick word from me. Make sure the Members Club is going to be absolutely superb next week. And it really, really is something that if you're not involved in, you should have a good look at it, okay? Basically, if you join, you can read the Racing Post on your tablet or your mobile or your computer from 9 o'clock the night before every day of the festival. So the Tuesday edition is out at 9 o'clock on Monday, which is absolutely fantastic. You get all the daily tips from our experts, breaking news, interviews, so much more. And the value is honestly, I know someone who's not, we always, all the Racing Post people always say that Members Club is brilliant value, but it was good to see someone on Twitter who's a real cynic and who quite often has a little dig at the Racing Post. But they said a couple of weeks ago, they said that the Members Club on Racing Post is the value of all time. And I really do think it is. And if you want to get involved, we've got a great offer for you. New customers can sign up to Members Club Ultimate and get their first month for just £14.99. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe even, and enter code CHELT21 at the checkout to redeem. Well worth looking at. Okay, three races at Wolverhampton for flat fans, of which Tom Collins is very much one. And the first is the Bombardier Lady Wolfruna Stakes. It's a listed race over 7 furlongs. And it features a horse who, I would say, 18 months ago, we thought might have the world at their feet. What price is Mum's Tipple for this, James?
Yeah, it's been nibbled at in the betting market for this race during the week, Bruce. And of course, after that 2-year-old form, 15-4 is the price. Richard Hannum won this race last year as well and really didn't go its way the last day at Linkfield. Got tight for room on the inside track, and then Ryan Moore just went a little bit easy in the closing, what, half a furlong or so. So I think very much an eye catcher and is currently, as I say, 15-4. Highland Dress, 5-2 tops the betting market. Documenting's been off the track for a while, 7-2. And then Lord of the Lodge, a bigger price for Carl Burke, 6-1. And some bigger prices the rest as well.
Thanks, James. Over to you, Tom. Who do you fancy here?
Yeah, well, Mum's Tipple looks a big player if he can come back to form. I mean, he looked incredible last year, didn't he? Well, yeah, and they just went all completely off the radar. That comeback effort in the Catchy Stakes was eye-catching. I think he's been well supported. I think he opened at about 7-1. But I'm going to be with Documenting. I'm a real big fan of this horse. He shined on the all-weather for trainer Kevin Frost over the last few years. And despite the fact that he's now 8, he's tackling, I think every horse he's tackling is younger, much younger, in fact, 2 years or more younger. He seems to be getting better, as proved by his RPRs. They just improve year on year. Connections are obviously following last year's programme with him. They come here on the back of a break, which is no problem whatsoever. He came here into this race last year off the back of a break and finished a good second to Urban Icon, who would win this race at his best. Documenting was held up early in a race that wasn't run very fast at all. It wasn't a breakneck gallop. It quickened throughout the race. I think the finishing speed was 106% for those who follow finishing speeds. And his final 2 furlong sectionals of 11.18 and 11.23 were by far the quickest in the field, despite the fact he was unfavoured by the way the race panned out. So there are clear ways to suggest that Documenting should have won it last year. There's no Urban Icon in the field this season. Documenting's top rated this time around. I think he'll gain compensation.
Really quickly, if you can, and this is a difficult task because all you time experts, you all struggle to articulate what it all means to morons like me. But that finishing speed figure of 106%, what does it mean and what is a good figure? Because I think a lot of us would love to kind of really embrace times and get into it and use it, but we just find it a bit frustrating that we don't quite understand what it means. So give us an illustration of what that means.
Yeah, so if a race is run quickly, if they go fast gallop early on, you'd expect the finishing speed to be slower. So beneath 100%, lower than 100%. If it's higher than 102% potentially, then they've gone slow early and finished a lot faster. They've quickened up, you know, they've saved their energy in the early stages and quickened up in the closing stages. So the fact that it finished at 106% suggested that they went extremely slowly through the early stages for the grade, and then they finished powerfully. And if you're held up off a race that is a high finishing speed, then you're obviously at a disadvantage to those who are on the speed, who can quick and clear, if that makes sense.
DJ?
No, I think that was a fairly decent explanation.
It was good. It was good. Do you understand it all? Are you a sectionalist, a DJ?
I'd be like somewhere in between, Bruce. I like to dip into it every now and again. And it, you know, I think on the all-weather especially, it does come in really handy. And I'd say, I would imagine Tom, who's a US expert, uses it a good bit there as well. I do think it's important. If you really want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, I do think it's important. And Tom has almost convinced me to go for documenting. But the one I like here is Raeb for Saeed Bin Sarun Godolphin. Now, he hasn't ran for ages. It was last February since we saw him last. But that performance at Lingfield, like the winner of that race, that Paz Malatru for Marco Botti, went on to finish third in the Prix Jean Prat behind the good horse of Godolphin. I can't remember the name, but what do you call the... Jeez, that's going to bug me now. Hold on, I have to get this. Pinatubo. Finished third behind Pinatubo. And at one stage up the home straight that day, I thought Raeb had him beaten. To me, he doesn't look a handicapper. He really doesn't. He looks a kind of like better than his current mark in 97. Now, obviously, this is a list of race, and you've got horses that are rated as high as 109. But my point is, I don't think his mark justifies his ability. I think he's a better horse than a mark in 97. Obviously, the 370-day layoff is a bit of a worry. But he won on debut, and he's ran really well on the back of a break, as I said, in February last year. He's drawn in stall four. I think everything should be okay for him. And while Tom makes a really good case for documenting, I'm just going to side with Raeb.
Okay. And James, who are you going to side with?
Yeah, I'll keep it short, Bruce, just to say I think Ryan Moore's going to have another nice Saturday winner. He's been in great form the last few weeks. Mum's Tipple, I thought that unlucky performance at Lingfield caught the eye. And I think this track will suit Mum's Tipple better. So hopefully he can get back to a bit of form from what we saw in the juvenile days.
Jolly good. Let's move on to the 240 at Wolverhampton. The Bombardier British Hopped Amber Beer Lincoln Trial. A handicap over a mile and a furlong. Yeah, another tricky race. It's really tough, this ITV card. We'll see what the lads fancy after James has taken us through Paddy Power's prices.
Yeah, trappy race. Four places are on offer in this race, so it will help. 9-2, we go Man of the Night. We've got Mission Boy for Ryan Moore. 5-1. 7-1 is Born to Be Alive. 8-1, Tad Leal. And then it's 10-1, bar four winning four-year-olds in the last 6 years, which is a good sign if you fancy Mick Shannon's Milltown Star.
Okay, do you fancy Mick Shannon's Milltown Star, David Jennings?
I don't, Bruce. There's an old friend of mine in here, Man of the Night. I think you'll probably remember him.
Absolutely, I remember him, yeah. He was the one who found a load of trouble in like a five-runner race at Doncaster, is that right?
Yeah. That day at Doncaster, Ryan Moore rode him in a five-runner race and we were all mad at him on the podcast. It was excruciating to watch.
But,
look, I thought this horse was like a guineas horse, a derby horse. I just loved the first time out at Newbury. And even when he was beaten later on in the season at Newbury again, he had ran at Salisbury. I said, this horse is just not, he's just not grown up yet. And look, he's been disappointing. He certainly has been disappointing. But I just often think when you start a season on the flat and there's a horse that you expected so much from on the previous season, you just have to give them one chance, Bruce. You have to give them one more chance to prove that your eyes weren't deceiving you the year before. And if you were to tell me back when he was a two-year-old, after he won at odds on first time out at Newbury, that Man of the Night would be rated just 97 at the start of the 2021 season, I would have absolutely laughed at you. I would have said something must have went drastically wrong. Like, he ran okay in his final start last year at Newmarket. He was second as a Seville champion. He was 40-1 that day, and there was still some life there. So, Bruce, look, I'm going to give him one more chance. I still think he's a good horse. And if he is the horse I think he is, he's ridiculously well handicapped.
I will be following you in, DJ. We have to get our money back off this one, don't we? James, who's your selection going to be?
Yeah, well, I'd say take advantage of the four places, and I'm going to go for a tentative selection, Born to Be Alive. I think this horse has been in good form, probably a little bit more to come. It's gone up £5 for that latest victory at Kempton. I was just wondering where the pace is going to come from in this race. This horse likes to be up there, just sitting behind the pace setters, and I think might be able to kick on late at Carl Burke's runners, running off our 102. I ran a good second over Christmas here at this venue behind Make It Rain, so I think it's been quite consistent, and I'll go for Born to Be Alive.
Okie doke. So I noticed that Oh This Is Us in the field in the Lincoln trial. Oh This Is Us just got thwarted on the line in this four in the actual Lincoln 4 years ago, didn't he? Foiled a gamble. Let's see if he is going to be Tom's selection or whether he looks elsewhere.
I'm going to look elsewhere, but this isn't a race that I'll be betting in at all. I'm not keen on it. I really hate the draw for Mission Boy, who would have been a player and probably my selection if he wasn't joining Gate 13 right in the car park. If he can get across, then he's a proper player and should be favourite on his form. But that draw is just miserable. I'm going
to
be
because,
with Mill.
Sorry, just to explain that, Tom, they start right on the... I think this 1 mile, 1 furlong
yes.
trip that... or is it just before the winning line? So they've really got to sort themselves out quickly, haven't they?
Yeah, it's right on the bend. If you're drawn wide, then you're likely to be wide through the first portion of the race, especially around that bend. So big disadvantage. I'm going to put forward Milltown Star. I won't be backing him, as I said. He's 1-for-2 on the all-weather. His defeat was a runner-up finish, so he's got good form on synthetic surfaces. Barely got his ground on turf last summer, so put a line through those four those pieces of form. Four of the last five winners of this race came here off the back of a layoff of 140 days or longer. So you potentially don't want a horse that's been campaigned over the winter if you're looking at trends. He's performed well going fresh. Milltown Star is the tentative selection.
Thanks very much, Tom. And finally, as far as the ITV card goes, we've got the 3:15 at Wolverhampton. It's a 6-furlong handicap sprint sponsored by Betway. James, take us through the prices and then tell us who your selection is going to be.
Yes, so we've got Brian the Snail, I should say. Richard Fahey's winner, the doctor, owns this one, as we know. 7-2, one of the joint favourites. Ed Dunlop's runner, Juan Le Pin, same price, 4-1 streamline. We've got Summer Grant at 4-1 from 5-1. It's been attracting a little bit of support in 6-1 bar. And I'm going to go for the former Stewards Cup winner from last year for David O'Mara. I thought this horse ran quite nicely the last day when finishing third here. And I think can go close to a win. Adam Kirby remains in the saddle. He's been on board last couple of starts. And this horse was only beaten just under six lengths when finishing eighth, of course, in the Betfair Sprint Cup at Haydock, I should say. So I think this horse can go very close. I'm quite keen on this 4-1 shot for David O'Mara.
And what's his name again? Summergand.
Yes, the top one on your race card, Summer Grant.
And you're very wise there. Summergand, one of my favourite horses. He ran a blinder last time. I think he's going to win. Do you agree with us, Tom?
Yes, make that 3 for Summergand.
Good man.
I've already taken a bit of the fives. I'm quite keen on Summergand, despite the fact that he's carrying top weight and giving pounds and stone to his opposition.
He doesn't care about all that, mate.
Exactly.
He doesn't care.
Exactly. He's just the best horse. He can carry a big weight. We all know that. He's best known for finishing powerfully without necessarily winning in these big field turf handicaps throughout the summer. But he's 3-for-8 on the all-weather. People shouldn't forget that he's good on synthetic surfaces. And he beat Documenting at this track in late 2019. So he's taken a big scalp as well on the way. He was unlucky to get done in the three-way photo last time. There's not much pace on, I didn't think. But he often sits closer to the speed on the all-weather than he would in a big field turf handicap. And with Adam Kirby booked, a good drawing gate too, I think he's got a great chance and should be favourite and should hopefully win.
Don't talk about that last run. I had a big fat multiple running onto him there. That was very expensive, but I still love the horse. Come on, DJ, come and join us. Summergand all the way, isn't it?
I won't join you, Bruce, but I won't not join you. I couldn't make head nor tail of this, so I'd only be waffling if I was given a selection. So I'll cheer yous on.
Thank you very much indeed, Jay. We need all the help we can get. Go on, Summergand, in the 3:15 at Wolverhampton. We're back with the rest of Saturday and Sunday and a few Cheltenham tips next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, welcome back. It's the final part of the Racing Post weekend postcast with Bruce Willington, David Jennings, Tom Collins and Paddy Power's James Short. First up, we're going to see what the boys fancy away from the glare of the ITV4 cameras. Then we'll get the naps. Then DJ's got one for us on Sunday. And then I'm going to ask the boys for their Cheltenham banker and their Cheltenham long shot. Okay, then, first up, not the nap. and not any of your TV tips, because you've already told us those. What else do you fancy? We've got the rest of Sandown, the rest of Wolverhampton, the racing in Ireland at Navan. We've got Hereford, we've got Ayr, and we've got an evening meeting at Chelmsford. And of course, Tom Collins is our resident American expert as well, so he might have something for us over there. We'll start with David Jennings.
Just a couple at Navan, Bruce. In the 355, it's the Webster Cup. It's a great two. Daily Tigers had a terrific season. He's not going to Cheltenham, and I think that's a wise choice. He's rated 157. This race at Navan looks tailor-made for him at his local track. He's actually getting £5 off Castle Grace Paddy, who's rated 152. So he should be beating him. Any second now has got the Grand National as his ultimate aim. Moon over Germany has been completely out of form of late, and Arnua just doesn't win anymore. So I just thought Daily Tiger was the one to side with there in that 355. And then later on in the card, there is the 430. It's a novice handicap chase, but there's loads of prize money. It's over 35 grand to the winner here. And this is a really interesting race. School by Hours is in here, who was my longtime fancy for the Kim Muir. But I think they've got the Irish Grand National in mind for him. So I wonder just was that his long-term aim, School by Hours. So the one that I'm gonna the one that I'm gonna side with instead in that is actually the top weight, Mr. Hendricks, who was pulled up last time, who ran a shocker behind Cocoa Beach. But Jessica Harrington's horses just weren't really right at that stage. And I fancy Lord Royal in the National Hunt Chase at Cheltenham. Mr. Hendricks has beaten him already. So he has to defy a mark of 146, but I think he might just be up to it. So I'm going to side with Mr. Hendricks in that 430.
Thank you, David. James, what have you got for us?
Yeah, back to this Radnor Lodbrook a few times in the past. Denise Foster now, of course, taking over the charge. Jack Kennedy is in the saddle. Jigginstown horse running in the 320 at Navan in the novice hurdle, just shy of 3 miles. Hoping this horse can maybe get back to winning ways for us. This horse did manage to win at Galway previously and had been running quite well second at Cork twice. Disappointed at Naas the last day, but I'm going to side with this horse just one more time. So keep an eye on that one. That's Radnor Lodbrook for Denise Foster, Jigginstown team in the 320 at Navan.
Thanks very much, James. Tom?
I'll save my remaining UK tip for the net, but we've got one in the US.
Good.
The Connector in the Silks Run Stakes, the 10-19 at Gulfstream. This horse is a shipper from Tampa Bay, absolutely bolted up in a starter allowance race and then an allowance optional claimer at that venue before suffering what can only be described as a horror trip last time. In truth, it was a god-awful ride. He was in tight round the bend, squeezed out in the straight when making a challenge, half furlong out. He would have won that race. He should be coming here on the back of 3 consecutive victories. He moves to Gulfstream. He's going to face tougher opposition at the Hallandale Beach venue, and he's up in class. But he's an informed sort. He gets Jose Ortiz, which is a huge rider switch. Jose Ortiz is one of the best in the States. 8-1 on the morning line, that's a very good price. Should go off about 4s. You can definitely get the value there.
I think some people have started listening to that and thinking, hang on, so he's making a really good case here. What was it again? So give us the horse, the race and the course.
The horse is called The Connector and it's the 10-19 at Gulfstream.
Thank you. And what's a shipper?
A shipper is a horse that... Because in America, horses are largely campaigned at one track. It's not like over here where horses go from, you know, Newbury to Doncaster to Ascot and whatnot. Horses are largely stabled at a track like Tampa. A shipper is a horse that moves from one track to another to run in a race. So
sort of like a raider, we call it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Excellent. Okay.
I feel like back in school with Tom Collins today. He's opened up my mind to various different things today.
Yes, it's been good, hasn't it? We've got a bit of American racing slang. We've had a crash course in sectional times. Brilliant stuff, Tom. Thank you so much for coming, my friend. Let's see if we can round it off with a good nap.
This will not be beaten.
Where better to start than Tom Collins? Who's your best bet for Saturday?
The best bet is Toro Dorado in 12:55 at Wolverhampton. Really strong travelling handicapper. He doesn't always fire, but he's become a lot more reliable in that regard recently. He went straight into the tracker after his run at Lingfield two weeks ago when he finished third. Luke Morris is the key. He's back on board. He's 5-11 on board Toro Dorado, who's a horse that's not easy to ride. So that's a huge positive. And Toro Dorado rates the nap.
Thank you very much, Tom. DJ, who's your Saturday best?
Langer Dan, 225, Sandown.
Thought you might say that. James?
Going to go for the Mare's Listed Bumper, 3 o'clock at Sandown. Miss Lamb for me, really like her. Her second to Eileen Dover was eye-catching. The form has been boosting in the hand since. Jet O'Keefe Stables in good form. And 8 of the last 9 winners of this race were priced 5-1 or under.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Okay, DJ, I know you've got one on Sunday you want to flag up. Which one's that?
Yeah, so there's actually a good card at Nace. Conflated runs in the Grade 3, the Novice Chase. I think a lot of people are on him for the Paddy Power Plate, so they'll be absolutely sick. But just in the 2:30 is the Leinster National. And again, plenty of prize money on show here. And the one that I like is FitzHenry for Paul Nolan and Rachel Blackburn. And that's going to sound bonkers. His form figures are 5.070. But he's actually ran far better in some of them races than you might think. And the ground here is going to be absolutely ideal for him. The trip last time in the Leperstown Chase was far too short. I thought he ran really well in the Paddy Power Chase at Leperstown over Christmas. He finished 7th at Castlebaum West. But two out, you're kind of going, uh-oh, this fella has a chance here. And I was sick because I always tip him and back him. And I didn't that day. But he ended up finishing 7th. He was bang there at the last. He's been dropped since that race. He's been dropped £4 to 1.36. And that's on the back of like just a run over too short of a trip. So to me, I think this is tailor-made for FitzHenry. And don't be put off by those form figures. He's far better than that.
What's FitzHenry's most famous moment? What will he always be connected with?
Roaring Bull!
He was the horse who just got touched off by Roaring Bull, wasn't he? Excellent. Right then, chaps. Cheltenham next week. Like I say, bad news that Enegonomim and... I can't pronounce that, can I? But anyway, you know which one I mean. And Time Hill are out. But never mind that. Loads of great racing. I want a banker from each of you first. And I'm going to start with David Jennings.
Oh, I'm sick of talking about my banker. 155, Cheltenham Thursday, Imperial Alcazar.
Okay. James?
Yeah, still waiting on news from Phoenicia Williams. I'm a big, big fan of Royal Pagoy, hoping this horse will go for the National Hunt Chase on the first day at 4:50. Very impressed by the Kempton performance. My only anti-post bet for the festival was after that win and before the Peter Marsh. Royal Pagoy for me.
Okay, and Tom, who's your Cheltenham Festival banker?
Mama B, Bob Ollinger in the Ballymore, the 1:20 at Cheltenham on Wednesday. Looks a machine. I know that term gets branded a lot, but he looks very good.
Who are you DJ, on? Tell him why we're booing.
Yeah, there's a few machines in that race.
What one? What game? Ah, oh, Brave Man. Yeah, he's the main danger, to be fair. I just don't like the Mullins horse, personally.
No, there's a lot of people are saying that. And unfortunately, DJ, much as I love you, I kind of feel like we're in a shrinking minority. All the judges are telling me Bob Ollinger, so we'll see. But yeah. I'm going to keep the faith with Brave Man's game. And I want a horse that I'm going to say double-figure price that people think is going to run very well indeed. David Jennings, you can kick off with that one.
Okay, I'm going to go for Magic Tricks in the County Hurdle. He's a brother of Abacadabras. I think when he gets good ground, he's a really good jumper. And I just think he's had his mark lowered because he's been running on bottomless ground through the winter. I think he's a good horse. So Magic Tricks in the County Hurdle. I think he's 25-1.
And the County Hurdle is the 155 on Friday. Okay, James, no pressure. What's your best long shot?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here, Bruce. Best long shot of the week. Ooh, I'm a big fan going to the Gold Cup. I wouldn't say long shot, but I think Henry de Bromhead has done the masterclass from Christmas. They skipped the Dublin Racing Festival with Plutard. The Heart wants Album Photo to win the Gold Cup, but I think this Chiefly Park horse has a good chance. And I think it's going to be a great week for the Chiefly Park team in general.
A Plutard, yeah. I'd love to be able to say we're going to get double figures there, but I don't think we will, James. But never mind, that's all good. And Tom, what have you got for us at a decent price?
I'm going to go to the Ultima, the 2:30 on the Tuesday. I know plenty of judges like Lieutenant Rocco, Happy Go Lucky as well, but one at a bigger price is Milan Native, formerly with Gordon Elliott, now with Denise Foster for Jigginstown. Won the Kim Muir last year off the back of what can only be described as a couple of poor efforts. Comes here off some poor efforts, but looked primed to run a huge race in the Ultima. So I think Milan Native will go well, about 16-1.
Superb. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your input. Really great wisdom on what should be a good weekend. And don't forget, by the way, we've got postcasts every day during Cheltenham. So do join us for those. Really looking forward to it. Bet sensibly this weekend. Don't eat into your Cheltenham betting bank, but have a fantastic time. And like I say, join us every day next week for more great postcasts.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.